Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Today I want to talk about our healing covenant of love. Now if you don't have any problems with your body, thank God. This is preventive medicine. If you have something wrong with your body, you're dealing with some kind of symptom, then this will take care of that. This word will bring healing to your body. And why don't you just go ahead and open your heart wide and just expect things to be different in your life as the result of sitting under the word today? Why don't you actually expect the word of God to be living and powerful in your life today? And not just some dead letter up in your head. Right? Not just some dead letter in your head, but a living word. The living word of God. Powerful word of God. Working in you. As you're hearing it, the word is working. Because as you're hearing it, you're believing it. And if you're believing it, you're receiving it. All at the same time. Hearing it, believing it, receiving it. All at the same time. So just receive. So we're talking about primarily healing and love today. And so just receive that word today. And it will manifest everything the word is in your life today. It'll manifest it in you. So over here in Hebrews, the 7th chapter, in verse 22... By so much more, Jesus has become a surety, my margin says a guarantee, of a better covenant. He's comparing the Old Testament or the Old Covenant with the New Testament, the New Covenant. And he says that Jesus has become a guarantee of a better covenant. He has guaranteed us a better covenant. So what we have under the new covenant is greater than what the Jewish people had under the old covenant. Over in chapter 8 of Hebrews, in verse 6, it says, "But now he," talking about Jesus, "he has obtained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator of a better covenant." Everybody say better covenant. Better covenant. "Which was established on better promises." Everybody say better promises. Better promises. So once again, we see it, the word telling us that we have a better covenant today than what the children of Israel had under the old covenant. Well, under the old covenant, they had some great promises. They had wonderful promises, amazing promises. And you think about those that had faith. I'm talking about those of Israel who had faith in that covenant, the kind of exploits they were able to carry out, the kind of amazing things they were able to accomplish, the supernatural things that God was able to work and bring to pass in their lives as a result of their faith in that covenant that they had, that old covenant. I mean, they carried out tremendous exploits. I mean, that's what gave David at 17, who became King David, that's what gave him the faith to go out there against Goliath, is because he recognized he had a covenant with God, and Goliath and the Philistine army had no covenant with God. That's what gave him confidence. It was the covenant. He understood that he's in covenant with God, and God has promised him divine protection. God has promised him victory in every area of life, success in every area of life. He believed the covenant. He believed the promises. And as a result of that, he stood courageously against not only Goliath, but the whole Philistine army. And not just one time, but many, many times against all the armies of Israel. David was able to charge into battle knowing that no weapon formed against me will prosper. He knew he would have the victory. He knew he was coming home alive and well. How did he know that? Because he was such a skillful fighter? No, because of his faith in the covenant. And now, the Bible tells us that you and I, under the new covenant, have better promises. Better promises than even they had under the old. That means we have what they had under the old and a whole lot more. Right? Because if it's better, nothing's taken away. Wouldn't be better if they took away all that victory and took away all those promises of healing and deliverance and prosperity. Wouldn't be better if those things were taken away. It would be better if you had that plus. So we've got a new improved covenant. That's how we'd market it today in the grocery store. New and improved. We got a new and improved covenant today. So what can we do? What can we overcome? What can we accomplish? Oh, that's why the Bible says you're not just conquerors. They were conquerors under the old covenant, but you are more than conquerors through him who loves us and gave his life for us. Amen? More. We're more than conquerors. More than conquerors. I like that, don't you? Well, let's look under the old covenant back here in Deuteronomy chapter 7 at God's promises of healing, because that's partially what we're emphasizing here. In verse 14, the Lord says through Moses, you, he's talking to his people, children of Israel, his covenant people, you shall be blessed above all peoples. That's a pretty good promise right there. You shall be blessed above all people. Now remember, we have this. This is ours too. We got this and a whole lot more. So let's get this right now. Say, I'm blessed above all peoples. You shall be blessed above all peoples. In other words, everybody outside the covenant will not be as blessed as you. You covenant people of mine will be blessed above all other people that don't have a covenant with me. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be a male or female barren among you or among your livestock. And the Lord will take away from you all sickness. This is the covenant. This is a promise. He says that he will take away from you all sickness. So if you had a sickness, he says he will take it away from you. Guaranteed it can't stay. We got a guarantee. I said we got a guarantee that sickness cannot stay. Sickness cannot run its course and defeat us. Sickness cannot stay because the Lord says he will take away from you all sickness. All sickness. And will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases of Egypt or of the world which you have known. You've seen commercials. You've seen the billboards. It's all around us all the time. In our society today, the world we live in today, there is a constant advertisement of sickness and disease in order to sell drugs. Right? Constantly. All around you all the time. You don't want to listen to that all the time. You got to watch what you're listening to. This is good stuff to listen to right here. Because if you just keep hearing about sickness and disease, and you better get this test, and you better get this done, take this medication, and all these different things. If you just keep hearing that, you are building fear in you for sickness and disease. But when you're hearing God's word of healing, you're building faith in you for the same. So your faith is growing right now. Your receiving is growing right now in healing. You are receiving healing into your body right now. As you're hearing this word and believing it, receiving it. Verse 15, the Lord will take away from you all sickness. I love that. He doesn't, you know, there's nothing left out. All covers all, doesn't it? It covers it all. and will afflict you with none of the terrible diseases. So no diseases and no sickness will come near you. All these things which you have known, but I will lay them on all those who hate you. I pity the people that hate me. I mean, I would not hate me. You just don't want to hate me. Why? Because we just read that he puts on the people that hate you all this sickness and disease. It comes on them. See? People try to come at you and they try to curse you, but it all backfires. It all comes back on them because no weapon formed against you will prosper. Can you say amen? So he takes sickness away. Hallelujah. And you'll be blessed. Blessed above all peoples. Blessed. So being blessed is being then free of sickness and disease. Right? Didn't you just put being blessed above all peoples and taking sickness and disease away from you all go together? So be blessed. Be blessed. To be blessed is to be sickness and disease free. Hallelujah. Because we understand sickness and disease is a curse. There's none to it. It's not a blessing in disguise. It's a curse. And you've been redeemed from the curse of sickness and disease. And now we are blessed. Somebody shout, I'm blessed. You know what you just said? You just said you're healed. You're free of sickness and disease. Woo, hallelujah. Put your hand on yourself and say, I'm blessed. Hallelujah, I'm free of sickness and disease. Glory to God. Glory to God. See, if anything was working there, it's just got destroyed. Just got annihilated by your faith in the Word of God. Woo, because the Word is working. Hallelujah. The Word is working because we're believing. We're receiving as we're hearing and saying. Exodus chapter 23. Let's go there. Still looking at the old covenant. We're already excited. Verse 25. So you shall serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage or be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Glory to God. And you set the numbers. You set the number and the Lord will fulfill it. You set the number and the Lord will fulfill it. Praise God. Notice that. You shall serve the Lord your God and he will bless. There's that word bless again. And it's connected to what? Being sickness and disease free. He says, I will bless your bread and your water. I'll bless your food. And I will take sickness away from the midst of you. How many people know it's good to pray over your food? Give thanks to God for your food. And when you do, what does God do? He blesses it. Hallelujah. He blesses it. He empowers it. He empowers the food that you eat to drive sickness away from your midst. Drive it out of your midst. That's what he does when you give thanks for your food. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, for every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. Again, we are talking about food. We aren't talking about chemicals. Read your labels. Don't trust the world. They want to sell stuff. They just want to make it look pretty and colorful and tasty. They're not that interested about your nutrition. Are you hearing me? So read your labels. Don't just sit there and go, it's so good, and just shove it down and never read labels. And if you listen to the Holy Spirit, God will deal with you. He will deal with you about your diet. He will deal with you about what you eat, because the Bible says he wants to fill your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He wants to fill your mouth with good things. So listen to the Holy Spirit. When you're going down the grocery aisle, listen to the Holy Spirit before you take that box. Listen to him. Read the labels. It's a good way to listen to God. He'll show you many things when you read labels. So anyway, he says, give thanks for the food. Give thanks for the food that he created. Not that man in his laboratory created. The stuff that God created. For every creature of God is good, and nothing is to be refused if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So that's how we get our food blessed. And you want to bless your food. The Lord spoke to me one time. I was sitting at the dinner table. I'm thinking, do we really have to always bless the food? It seems kind of religious. You know, just blessing the food. It just seems like kind of a religious thing. And then the Lord spoke to my heart. He said, you bless the food because the earth is under a curse. In other words, the earth, how do people know the earth is under a curse, according to Genesis? Cursed is the earth for your sake. So food comes out of the earth. It comes out of the earth. So the earth is cursed, but when you receive the food, you place the blessing on it. And therefore, it can't harm you. It becomes blessed. And then, of course, over in Mark chapter 16, the Lord said that if you drink anything deadly, it'll by no means harm you. So how do you know there could be deadly things in the water? Things at least that can make you very sick in water and in food and things like that. And you're doing well, you're healthy, and then you drink something or you eat something that's contaminated. It's got something in it that would make you sick. Thank God we can give thanks for our food. And in giving thanks and speaking God's word over it, see, because our faith is in the word of God. So we speak God's word and pray, which means we have a conversation with God. We don't just speak the word apart from a conversation with God, apart from a relationship with him. And that's where a lot of folks miss it, is they'll speak the promises of God, they'll speak the word, which is good, but it's not out of it's not in a conversation with him. It's not being spoken while then having a conversation with God. It's like you're just speaking the word. Bring God to the table. Bring God to the dinner table. Bring God to the lunch table. Bring God to the breakfast table. Bring God to the snack table. Come on, somebody. Bring God in there. Have a conversation with him and thank him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Don't just do it religiously. Do it believing that he is right there with you. Have a conversation with him and say, thank you, Lord, for this food. And I thank you that according to your word, you take sickness from our midst. You bless our bread and our water right now and take sickness from our midst. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then eat it all up in Jesus' name. Counting no calories, thank God. Not necessarily. All right, so you see that there? Again, the blessing is freeing us from sickness, disease. This is all old covenant. Exodus 15, verse 24. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Remember, they came out of Egypt. They're traveling through a desert. And the Lord for 40 years provided for them. They weren't supposed to be in a desert for 40 years. They weren't supposed to be in that place. He had a promised land prepared for them, but they just couldn't stop murmuring. They just couldn't stop griping. And as a result of that, they just kept getting themselves in more and more trouble. They kept opening the door to their enemies. They kept opening the door to the devil to come in and afflict them. One time they were griping and complaining, and a bunch of vipers were released in the desert there to start biting the children of Israel. God was protecting, he was holding the vipers back. But when they started griping and complaining and murmuring, speaking all this doubt and unbelief, they opened the door to the devil, and the vipers got loose in the camp and started biting the children of Israel, and people were dying from the poison, from the venom. People were dying. And God told Moses what to do in order to bring about a cure and a deliverance of the children of Israel out of this situation. But you got to watch about the griping and the complaining, because the gripers get the vipers. You don't want to get any vipers, right? Just remember that. Say that. Say the gripers get the vipers. Me no griper. Me get no viper. You got to remember that. Don't gripe. Otherwise, things start to bite. All right? It gives place to the devil. So we got to stay out of that mess. We'll hear more about that here in a little bit. It says, so they murmured against Moses. Of course, got to go after Moses. What shall we drink? So he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. Now, these waters were bitter. They were poisonous. There's poison in the water. And so God shows him a tree. He takes a tree, throws it in the water, and now the water's not bitter and poisonous anymore. It's sweet and good to drink. See, this is a type of the cross or the tree of Calvary. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. That's the cross. So when that cross is applied to our bitter situation, to the bitterness of life, what is the result? Life is made sweet, and there's healing. Amen. You got to apply the cross, apply the tree to any kind of bitter situation that you might be facing in life. If you're dealing with any kind of bitterness in your life, any kind of bitter situation, what should you do? Throw in the tree. What God shows Moses, he shows you and I. This is just a type. This is the old covenant. If it worked with just a type of the cross, how much will it work today now that you and I have a revelation of the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us on that cross? Matthew 8:17 says he himself on that cross took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. He became the curse of sickness and disease for us on the cross. He bore it all on that cross. A revelation of the cross, praise God, will make your situation sweet in life. How many people know sickness and disease makes life bitter? Huh? It's a bitter pill to swallow. Sickness and disease. Thank God, the tree of Calvary will drive the sickness and disease out and make life sweet again. How many people know healing and health is sweet? Ooh, hallelujah. God wants us to have a healthy, happy new year. That's why he's got this word coming forth. He wants us to have a healthy, happy new year. He wants life to be sweet again. Sweet. Every area of our life. So he says in verse 26, I'm going to back up actually, verse 25, so he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, and when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. There he made a statute and an ordinance for them. And there he tested them and said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. Who is he? The Lord who heals you. That's who he is. That's who he is. Glory to God. Now the Old Testament was written in the causative sense. The Hebrews in the causative sense. Rather than there is no permissive sense from my understanding of the Hebrew language. And so actually it should read, I will not permit the diseases on you which I have permitted on the Egyptians. Because God doesn't actually put these things on people. We know from the New Covenant, the New Testament, that there's a devil behind these things. The New Testament makes it clear that sickness and disease is a work of the devil. Okay? And so it's the devil, through their murmuring and complaining, that came in. New Testament tells us, book of Ephesians, don't give place to the devil. And it talks about corrupt communication coming out of your mouth. Having corrupt communication come out of your mouth will give place to the devil. That's exactly what they were doing here. So he teaches us to control our tongue, to control what we say, to watch what we say. And in watching what we say, we will preserve our lives. And he says that if we will, look at it again. Verse 26, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments. His commandments. And keep his statutes. I will permit none of the diseases on you which I have permitted on the Egyptians. For I am the Lord who heals you. I am your healing Lord. He is Jesus. Jesus is Lord our healer. That's who he is. He is Lord our healer. He heals you and I. Aren't you grateful this is who he is? Now, if he was that way under the old, how many people know he doesn't change? He doesn't change. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what he did then, of course he does today. Because we have what they had and a whole lot more. We have a whole lot more. God does a whole lot more for you and I under the new covenant. Because God doesn't just promise us outward victory, outward healing, outward deliverance, as he did for the children of Israel. But under the new covenant, he takes it another whole step further. And he now changes you on the inside. He deals with the root of all outward problems, which is a broken down sinful spirit. He goes to the root of the problem, which is to your spirit. He doesn't under the new covenant, he doesn't just heal your body. He gives you a new, born-again spirit. He delivers you spiritually. Not just from Canaanites, Philistines, and all these physical, natural enemies, human enemies, but he delivers us from the enemies behind the enemies, which are the demons, the devils, the principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness, the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. And now, under the new covenant, through the name of Jesus, we can deal not just with flesh and blood, but we can go right to the root of the problem. We can go right to the devil and cut him off. A lot of times people are dealing, with people. They're in strife with people. You know, I think a perfect example of this, I've shared it before, I'll share it again. You know, if it's good, it bears repeating, right? I was working at TGI Fridays while I was going to Bible school. First year of Bible school out in Oklahoma. And I was working at TGI Fridays restaurant as a waiter. And, there was this waiter. I'd just gotten the job. And there was another guy there. He was kind of like a veteran waiter. He had been around a long time. And he was a big, burly guy. And he wore his suspenders and his big cowboy hat. And he got big, bulging eyes. And he walked around. And he was just messing with me. From the first day I got hired and was being trained, this guy was harassing me. And so anyway, they were short some people, so they said, we're going to put me on Friday night, you know. And Friday night's like their busiest night at Fridays. And so, you know, I said, well, I'm ready. I can do it. Let's go. So they put me on. Now, of course, I'm still trying to learn the register and the buttons and you know, okay, so the chicken fajitas and let's see, where's that? Now, you know, and you got to figure out where it is on a register and all that kind of stuff. Well, so I'm doing that, and I get all these tables. And so this guy, this veteran waiter, he's following me around, and he's saying things to me. He's harassing me. And I'd be leaving to go to the register to do something or go put my order in the back room, and he'd walk up and say, hey, got to pick up these plates right here. You got to get this stuff over here. Get it in. Just trying to make things tough on me, you know. So I'm getting harassed all night, and I'm trying to do a good job, you know. I'm moving as fast as I can. I got this guy just giving me a hard time. Finally, he walks up to me, and he says, I don't know what it is about you, but I don't like you, and I'm going to get you fired. I thought, this is great. I mean, this is just great. So I said, oh, whatever. So I keep working. He's still harassing me. So finally, I walk over. I'm picking up my food there in the kitchen, putting it on its tray. And I said, "Lord, he's standing right there by the doorway from the kitchen to the dining room." And I said, "Lord, I can't do this." I said, "You're going to have to do something about this right now. Otherwise, I'm not going to keep working here." And the Spirit of God on the inside of me said, "Greater is he that is in you than he that is in him. Stare at him." That's what he said. Clear as can be on the inside. "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in him. Stare." And it came with like a passionate voice. It was like the Lord was upset. The Lord was stirred up about this. Let's put it that way. He was stirred up. "Greater is he that's in you than he that's in him. Stare at him." So I knew immediately what was going to happen. I knew that when I locked eyes with him, the Spirit of God in me was going to look at the demon in him, because that's what's driving this man. He even said it himself. "I don't know what it is about you, but I don't like you, and I'm going to get you fired. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. The devil. The demon inside you, buddy. And he's driving you, because demons don't like me. I got news for you tonight. Demons do not like me. They don't like you either much. Well, unless you watch their stuff and do their things. But you don't do that. So I knew that when I locked out, I knew this was a spiritual battle, and the Spirit of God was going to look at the demon in him, out through my eyes, into his eyes. So I came around the corner with my stuff loaded, and as I came around, somebody was next to me. He hit the guy next to him. I saw him do that. And I know he said something like, "Watch this," you know. So I came around the corner, and he said something to me. I don't even know what he said. And I just stopped, and I turned back, and I looked at him. I just looked at him. Just locked. I didn't try to intimidate him with eye contact. I didn't do anything like that. Nothing in the flesh. This wasn't the flesh. I just looked at him. He went like this, looked at me. You know, he doubled down with the stare, you know. And I just stood there and looked at him. And all of a sudden he went. Just like that. And I knew. He just got delivered. I knew that devil just took off. Because he just like that. With total react like that. I turned around the corner and went, "Glory to God. Hallelujah. Served my day." He never gave me another problem for the rest of the night. Actually, at the end of the night, he said, "I don't know what it was," but he said, "You know, you're not such a bad guy." And by the end of the night, when we were cleaning up and everything, he's asking me about my Bible school that I go to. And I was sharing some things about the gospel and things with him. See, it wasn't just flesh and blood. It was demonic. But oh, under the new covenant, we don't just deal with the Philistines. We don't just deal with the Canaanites, these natural human enemies. We go right to the source. We got the greater one now on the inside of us, and the name of Jesus to cast out devils. And I cast out a devil without even a word. I just gave a look. If looks could kill, hallelujah, yes, they can. We got looks that'll kill demons. Didn't even have to draw a sword. Just gave him a look. And the battle was won. The battle was done. Glory to God. We have this under the new covenant. So God has given us something deeper in giving us something better. He takes care of our outward man and our outward needs. But also he takes care of our inward needs. He takes care of us spiritually. He blesses and prospers us from the inside out. When someone comes to Jesus, the first thing that happens is they get born again. Now, you remember, Jesus was still functioning under the old covenant before he went to the cross. And under the old covenant, what was he doing? Healing, delivering. All that came to him got healed, right? All that came to him got healed and delivered. All that came to him in faith. They were healed. He was healing all the time. And he was operating under the old covenant. But now, after he died and rose from the dead, the first thing he did, recorded over there in John's gospel, is that he appeared to his disciples and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And now, we see something now, something happened we hadn't seen yet in Jesus' ministry. We don't just see people getting healed physically, or even being raised from physical death. We see men being born again, being raised from spiritual death, and being infused with eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. He breathed on them. And now their inner man was completely changed from an old sinner to a new creation. From an old sinner to a new creation. From a child of the devil to a child of God. From a sinner to a saint. Just like that. That's what we begin to see now under the new covenant. New creations. New creations. Old things passed away. Behold, all things have become new in you. Right? All things have become new in us, in Christ Jesus. So the new covenant goes deeper than healing us outwardly. It takes care of us at the very root of all our problems. It goes right to the source. It goes right to the human spirit and fixes us on the inside. It fixes who you are, not just what you have or don't have. I don't have this. Oh, God, fix this. Oh, God, fix that. I don't have this. This isn't working. Then he wants to fix all those things. But even more than that, he fixes us. Not just our stuff. Not just our physical bodies. Can you say amen? So coming over to the New Testament in Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. He says this. For all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. You see, what God did when you got saved, he didn't just do lovely things for you. Under the new covenant, he did lovely things for the children of Israel, right? You see God do, how many people know healing is a lovely thing? If you can heal somebody, that is a lovely thing, right? That is an act of love. We see all these acts of love God performing under the old covenant, but under the new covenant, Romans chapter 5, verse 5 says, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He poured his love into us. He didn't just do lovely things for us. He does do lovely things for us. But more than that, he has put his love in us now and has made us one with love. Now God, who is love, is one with us, making us love. We are full of the very love of God, which is the nature of God. We have his nature. So he's not just doing lovely things for us. His love is in us now. We have his love 24/7. And you think about all the good blessings that love has provided for the children of Israel under the old covenant. Think about all the blessings that love provided. And now you have the love. You have the love, man. You have the source of all the blessings. Hallelujah. Say, I have the source of every blessing, which includes healing. I have the love. I am one with the love. The love of God. It's been poured out into my heart by the Holy Spirit. Yeah, and now this love, Galatians 5:14 says, fulfills all the law and all of God's commandments. Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Can you love your neighbor as yourself? How many people are believers? How many people are receivers? Yes. How many people have had the love of God poured out into their heart by the Holy Spirit? Have you received the Holy Spirit? Yes. You've been born again. Yes. God's love's in you. I said God's love's in you. He's poured it out into your heart by the Holy Spirit. So you can what? You can love your neighbor. Who is my neighbor? Well, today it's anybody sitting next to you. To anybody sitting behind you, you can love them. Thank God you can. In traffic, it's the car next to you. Yes, even the car in front of you. Yes, you can. You've got God's love. Romans chapter 13, New Testament now, New Covenant. Romans 13, verse 10, it says, love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. So in other words, when you're operating or yielding to this love of God that's been poured out into your heart by the Holy Spirit, when you're yielding to that, you, in God's eyes, fulfill all the law and all the commandments. Some people know under the old covenant there was a lot of law and a lot of commandments. A lot of things to obey. Hundreds of commandments. Hundreds of laws to obey. But now, under the new covenant, because love is in us, when we yield to that love, in God's eyes, we fulfill all the law, all the commandments. Because when you're operating in love, you're not going to do anything to hurt anybody, are you? You're going to do nothing evil to anybody. Love fulfills all of the Lord's commandments and statutes, his written decrees. Love fulfills them all. I said love fulfills them all. So if we go back to Exodus 15 and we look at verse 26, where he said, if you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, all his written decrees, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. So we can say it this way under the new covenant. We can say it this way. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his love. Give ear to his love and keep in his love. Keep in his love. I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. Because love fulfills all the commandments, all the statutes, all the laws, right? We got this love. So when we yield to love, we're doing what is right in his sight. So when we give ear to love, we give ear to love and keep ourselves in his love, then no disease, no sickness, no plague, nothing can come on you and I. Oh, hallelujah. He's made it easier. He's made it even easier. He's made it even better for us because it's a better covenant. Now he says, just stick with love. And it's easy to do because love is sticking to you. Because love is in you. It's in you. Love is in you. So all we have to do now is yield to love. Yield to love. And if we step out of love, in other words, we're yielding more to the flesh, to our opinions and our feelings, the more we step over in that area, then we're not yielding to love. See? And that's an area where we can give place to the enemy. Oh, but thank God we can repent and slip right back into love. Because love's still in you. So it's easy to be in love when you understand love is in you. But there is a difference between love being in you and you being in love, just like there's a difference between faith being in you and being in faith. People have plenty of faith in them. They have the love of God in them, but now they got to be in faith or in love. And how do you do that? Yield to it. Yield your members to it. Yield to it. And it'll make you sickness-proof. It'll make you disease-proof. You know, I've heard people say, now, you want to keep your body alkaline because disease can't live in an alkaline environment. Thank God for that wisdom. That's why I put baking soda in my water. It's a little tip, but I believe in those natural things. Disease can't live in an alkaline environment. You could be acidic or alkaline, right? So you could be either one of those. We don't want to be acidic. We'd rather be more alkaline. Disease can't live in an alkaline environment. I got one even better. Disease can't live in a love environment. Nothing wrong with the other, but this is better. I'll take them both. Hallelujah. Amen. Disease, sickness, can't live in a love environment. Get a hold of that. Sickness and disease can't live in a love environment. Woo-hoo-hoo, hallelujah. Friend, I'm going to keep my house full of love. I'm going to live in a love environment. It'll make you sickness proof. In other words, just like fireproof, sickness can't touch you. Disease can't touch you. Can you say amen? Because love heals. Love's a healer. Love's a deliverer. They'll tell you, medical science will even tell you. You know, people that are dealing with strife and bitterness, Proverbs will tell you, bitterness is rotten. Bitterness in your soul is rottenness to your bones. Strife and envy and bitterness and all this emotional agitation and everything, they'll tell you it's not good for you. It causes physical problems. I mean, they even know that in the natural. It causes all kinds of physical problems. Thank God, no longer are we need to be in bitterness and anger and frustration anymore, because we got the love. We got the mercy, the love of God. The same love that hung on the tree and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That same love has been poured out into you and I. So can we love our neighbor? Oh, yeah. And our enemies, too. We can love our enemies, too. We don't have to have anything against anybody. Praise God. We got that same lay your life down love on the inside of us. Yield to it. It's medicine to your body. I said it's medicine to your body. It's healing to your body. It's life to your body. It's life to every part of your life. The blessing of God thrives in an atmosphere of love. The love life is the blessed life. It's a life that is full of every good thing. And people want to hear more about the blessed life. A life that is full of every good thing. That's the love life. Remember, the blessed life is a life free of sickness and disease, right? It's a life full, let me say full, of every good thing. How many people know God's been speaking to us at the beginning of this year? He was telling us it's the time of fulfillment. I preached a whole message on it on a Wednesday night a few weeks ago. It's the time of fulfillment where God will bring to pass his promises in our life. We'll see the manifestation of all these exceedingly great and precious promises in our life. Now's the time for the fulfillment of it all. Well, if we're going to see the fulfillment of God's promises, that means we're going to see a people that are yielding to the love of God, because love is the fulfillment of the law, of the commandments, of all the promises of God. Love brings all the promises of God to light. Love brings all the promises of God into manifestation. Love brings the fulfillment of God's promises into our life. Love is the fulfillment. So it's the year of fulfillment. To see God's promises fulfilled in our life. That means it's the year of love. It's the year to walk in love, praise God. It's the year to walk, yield to the love of God that's been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Let's thank the Lord that it's our time of fulfillment. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the love.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.